is 25 to 28 below zero. Coming up next, it is the World Cafe, and at 1 o'clock, Dave Peterson is your host for On the River.
Garbage Quest, Ceremony of the Faceless, Murder Castle. Those are all past productions put on by Bros, the Baltimore Rock Opera Society. For almost two decades, Bros have been mounting elaborate, totally original rock operas. They're a passionate, unstoppable community.
Our motto is in Panton Redondo, everything in excess. If you can dream it, we want to make it.
That's Bros Executive Director Patrick Stasso. Coming up, he'll let you behind the curtain of this off-kilter theater group, talk about its connection to Baltimore, and about their approach to the rock opera.
Another one of our artistic values is what we call unibrow, which is the merging of highbrow and lowbrow art together.
Heading to the Bros Clubhouse for a sense of place, Baltimore, today. I'm Raina Duras. This is World Cafe.
For KAXE News, I'm Megan Buffington with the Up North Report. As Immigration and Customs Enforcement continues Operation Metro Surge, a north central county says that any prior agreement to work with ICE is null and void. Larissa Donovan has the story.
Last year, Cass County Sheriff Brian Welk entered a 287G agreement to assist with immigration enforcement. Attorney General Keith Ellison issued a December 12th opinion early into the operation that advised that county sheriffs cannot unilaterally enter into agreements without county board approval. Cass County Administrator Josh Stevenson says there hasn't been any action to approve such an agreement from the Board of Commissioners.
We had a couple of people show up at our January 20th meeting with what sounds like with similar concerns. And the board and our county attorney clarified that the recent opinion from Attorney General Keith Ellison makes the agreement null and void. And there is no plan to put this on the agenda or revisit it.
Welk issued a joint statement with the Leech Lake Tribal Police Chief Mike Robinson Friday, stating that their offices do not coordinate with immigration enforcement activities, which falls under federal civil law. Minnesota law dictates that local and state agencies cannot detain a person solely on immigration status. Any person held in local custody would have to meet qualifications for detention under state criminal law. The joint statement says the two departments' primary responsibilities are, quote, maintaining lawful order even as federal immigration activities proceed independently of local law enforcement. The statement also encourages residents and Leech Lake band members to verify law enforcement credentials if they have doubts or are unsure who is conducting law enforcement activity. Larissa Donovan, KAXE News.
Attorney Chris Maddow is dropping out of the governor's race less than 2 months after entering. The Republican was gaining momentum in the crowded primary field and says Minnesota needs change. But in a lengthy video posted on social media, he says he can't, quote, support the National Republican's stated retribution on the citizens of our state.
But Operation Metro Surge has expanded far beyond its stated focus on true public safety threats. United States citizens, particularly those of color, live in fear.
Maddow says his other reason for dropping out is that national Republicans have made it nearly impossible for a Republican to win in Minnesota. He says he will return all donations made to his campaign. The alleged arsonist behind the fire that destroyed Lutzen Lodge is suing his insurance company for denying his claim on the property. Owner, 41-year-old Bryce Campbell, was charged in December with multiple felonies for arson and insurance fraud. The Minnesota Star Tribune reports Campbell submitted a $16.5 million insurance claim for a total loss the day of the 2024 fire. The lawsuit against the insurance company says it denied the claim that day, breaching the contract. Campbell has denied having anything to do with the fire. He next appears in Cook County Court in March. Minnesota schools are getting new materials to enhance their teaching of Native American history. An emerging book series aims to blend a more comprehensive approach with compassion and curiosity. The Native Lives series, recently launched by the Minnesota Humanities Center, provides biographies of Dakota and Ojibwe leaders and changemakers. There's a profile of Carrie Cavender Schomer, one of five remaining first language Dakota speakers. She taught in the Yellow Medicine East School District. Indian Education Director Roberta Bjerkaset says Shomer used her gifts with care and purpose to revitalize the language while enabling younger natives to embrace their identity.
Many of the times, she said, and it's reflected in the book, is know who you are, and if you know the language, then you understand what it means to be Dakota.
Her district's student population is nearly 20% Native American, but Bjerkaset says the effort helps non-Native students too. She says it gives them a deeper understanding of the Upper Sioux community and pushes aside misconceptions. The Minnesota Humanities Center sends out these books with support from the Shakopee Mattawakutan Sioux community and the state's Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Thanks to Minnesota News Connection for this story. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Megan Buffington, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is made possible by Woodland Bank, providing customers with personal and business banking solutions, as well as offering Kasasa checking accounts. You can learn more online at woodland.bank.
This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. I'm in North Central Baltimore today for our latest Sense of Place series. I'm walking down a long, creepy corridor in a building that used to be a cinema, following Patrick Sasso, executive director of something called Bros.
Yeah, here's our gore locker, full of some intestine and hearts and
it is truly grotesque. Makes you wonder what kind of operation Bros is running here.
We've disemboweled goats, we've disemboweled pigs, we've disemboweled human-sized rats, we've disemboweled humans, we've cut off limbs, we've cut off heads. It varies.
No, it isn't the headquarters of some murderous cult. Bros stands for Baltimore Rock Opera Society.
The legends they tell you are true.
Patrick says Bros is a community of artists.
But with the mission of creating the most spectacular theater that you've ever seen for the next 7,000 years, our motto is in Panton Redondo, everything in excess. If you can dream it, we want to make it.
Bros began as many artistic ventures do.
Basically, it was just a small group of friends who were overeducated, underemployed, and coming out of Goucher College and wanting to create something awesome. I think the first show was dreamt up at a house party in a basement. It was called Grundlehammer.
Grundlehammer was a musical about a mythical kingdom where music had divine power, but was under threat by a tyrant king and a, quote, immortal cave-dwelling monster of unspeakable evil called the Grundle. You get the idea.
It was spectacular, just made up of all different genres of rock and classic rock and roll, some really heavy metal riffs. It's a classic hero's tale with way too many jokes.
Now hear the church bells ding-a-ling-ling. For the king of our land. For the king. Oh, fighting for what's right, every inch of him a man.
Patrick remembers first learning about Bros at Artscape, a Baltimore art festival.
I saw a group of people playing art guitars on Guilford Street Bridge in front of their art car, which was called the Brothership. And there was just blood everywhere and costumes and fire. And I was just standing off, and I was just like, I want to do that.
But he's not a theater kid. He's a band kid. Patrick played trombone in high school. Luckily, Bros was looking for horn players for one of their productions.
And I got the opportunity to distort my instrument a little bit by pushing my sound through pedals and experimenting with that electronic modification of the trombone, which was really fun. And it was a really neat way to sort of expand and learn and grow in that artistry.
When you buy a ticket for a Bros show, it isn't like going to see something from a, you know, normal theater company.
The audience experience at a Bros show is always
unexpected. I'd say you never really know what you're going to get into, mostly because every show is 100% original. There is no familiar aspect of our shows. They are brand new, sometimes to us, even on opening night, right?
Past Baltimore Rock Opera Society productions include Garbage Quest, an homage to retro video games, Ceremony of the Faceless, about faceless demons, and Glitterous Dragon Rising, about the world's last dragon. And if it all sounds a little unconventional or even unsophisticated for an opera, that's on purpose.
Another one of our artistic values is what we call unibrow, which is the merging of highbrow and lowbrow art together.
Patrick says every show has to have the bros moment, the big reveal, or the BBEG, the big bad endgame.
What is the most breathtaking thing that people in the audience are going to say, holy crap, how'd they do that?
One of Patrick's favorite big reveals was in a 2017 production called The Terrible Secret of Lunastis.
For this one, it was the Mother Nog, which is this giant eyeball that we see sitting up here. And it's this cycloptic monster that was hiding on stage the entire time behind a set piece. So the riff starts with this really heavy drop bass line. And the panel starts moving and this eerie eyeball peers around the corner at the audience, and it gives this impression of like this giant alien monster that's been hiding the entire time is like finally sneaking up on both the actors and the audience itself. It was such an awesome surprise every night.
Even though Patrick is the executive director, every Bros production is a team effort.
Everything starts at the pitch party, where we solicit our community members to say, what is your idea for a show that you want to see on the main stage? What makes it awesome? What is the style of music? What is the vibe? What's the setting? And we get probably anywhere between 20 and 30 pitches every year.
Then the best ideas are presented at a pitch party,
where she dies in his arms as the universe and the rock opera end. And that's the plot, right?
A little bit of like a battle slides presentation moment where the community members get to pitch their ideas to the rest of the community, where we have a democratic ranked choice voting to determine the rock opera that will be produced over the next 2 years.
Bros is a resourceful operation. Props are recycled or cannibalized, as Patrick would say. Shows are put on all over the cities in places like Zion Church of Baltimore. And the cast and crew of every production are mostly made up of volunteers.
So we try and have food there for them to just take one more thing off of their plates. And it really like hones in on the community aspect of Bros itself to say like, when you're here, you're family kind of vibe. You know, like we'll feed you, come hang out, have a beer and make something cool.
Patrick says one of the easiest ways to get involved is by showing up to a Bros build night, where props and sets get made with the help of a design lead.
And they'll set you off on a task to say, today we're making 1 million candles that are going to light up with LEDs so that we can make cool patterns. And by the end of it, volunteers who are involved then get a free ticket to the show. So they get to say and point out to their friends like, hey, I made that. I helped make that.
That magic of creating something together as a community is at the core of everything Bros does. In addition to entertaining gore lovers and fans of songs about eldritch horrors and time travel, Bros functions as a third space, a place where people can get together and just hang out.
Third spaces are dwindling in general. There's not many places that you can go where you don't have to spend money and you can still hang out with people and do something.
In the main room of the Bros Clubhouse, there's a giant bar adorned with an enormous spider. It's part of the set from the film Crybaby by Baltimore's own John Waters. It's fitting because Bros are part of that same Baltimore legacy of folks making weirdo outsider art. Something that Patrick says is thanks to the city itself.
I think Bros has succeeded in Baltimore because everybody who comes to Baltimore like wants to be here. I don't know, with so many cities nearby, there's Philly, there's DC, a little bit further away, Pittsburgh. Baltimore's a place that is a little bit scrappy, but there's these pockets of community that exist here, and
people enjoy creating things and having the opportunity to create things that are grungy, dirty, obscure, not normal.
I partied in the White House, eat up all that cheese, put down the Constitution and gave Lincoln a disease. I've been everywhere, did everything. I don't remember most of it, but eating is my thing, cause I'm the Rat King. The wisest pick your meats. You can make this feast from us.
I want to thank Patrick Sazzo of the Baltimore Rock Opera Society, or BROS, for talking with us. For Sense of Place Baltimore, I'm Marina Duras. We're back in a moment with more World Cafe.
Hope you're staying warm on this chilly Wednesday morning, and thanks so much for listening to the World Cafe on People Powered Radio, KAXE, KBXE. Good morning. My name is Dan Gannon. NOMI, NAMI, Grand Rapids, and the Minnesota North Sight Club present the film Good Side of Bad today, Wednesday, January 28th at 2 p.m. at Chucker Auditorium on the campus of Minnesota North in Grand Rapids. The movie explores mental health, recovery, and resilience. A guided discussion follows. Donating stocks and mutual funds is a quick, easy way to support KAXE's future. You may receive tax benefits as well. Call Sarah for details at 218-326-1234. Beltrami Soil and Water Conservation District's annual tree sale is going on now. Young tree and shrub seedlings come in bundles of 25, plus native wildflower and grass mixes are available. Order early for the best selection. Find more info at beltramiswcd.org. Coming up at 1 o'clock, your volunteer on the River host will be Dave Peterson. Now back to the World Cafe.
Before the break here on World Cafe, you heard us exploring the Baltimore Rock Opera Society's clubhouse, aka BROS. That was for our Sense of Place Baltimore series. If you'd like to see the BROS clubhouse with your own eyes, including that bar from Crybaby and the gore closet and lots, lots more, you can find pictures on the World Cafe Instagram at World Cafe and on my Instagram, Rah Rah Raina, RAHRAHRAINA. You can find all of our Sense of Place Baltimore pieces at worldcafe.org. Now, if that got you in the rock opera mood, good, because that's where you're going to stay for the next little while. Bunch of songs from rock operas on deck, starting with one of the biggest. Here's The Overture from The Who's Tommy.
Believe him, miss him with a number of men. Don't expect to see him again.
As the neons dim to the code of white.